Well, it's great to be here. Let's begin with prayer this morning. So, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the sense of your presence that we have felt so far. We thank you for your presence in the songs, in the prayers, in the testimonies, and a sense that your presence is changing our lives, that it's equipping us for the week ahead. And we pray that you'd be with us now as we turn to your word. Amen. So, Jed mentioned the thought of foundations, and I thought that would be good to build on. We've seen some great building program around here, and I get so encouraged each time I come to see what God is doing. And so I think it's a real credit to you, Jed, and to the team, and to each one of you for your participation, for your financial giving, for your prayers, for your support in so many ways. And in many ways today, I think we can think about what God is doing in building a church here. People have said over the last 100 years or so, the church is in decline, but I'm not seeing that. I'm seeing all around the country people gathering together and praying. With the COVID, people said this is going to shake people up and there'll be less people attending church. Pastors all over the country are saying that people are getting along to church even more. I guess if they've got less overseas travel opportunities, might as well go and meet with God and Jesus. And they're really feeling great things happening in their lives. I loved the online environment. We had church online for a while, and I discovered that you could put the church on, and if you enjoyed the 7 a.m. one, you could watch it again at 9 a.m., and you watch it again at 11 a.m. And one of the pastors said to me, "You never seem to be off the church. It's on all the time." So I think online's been quite good. And you could actually go to umpteen churches all around the country. You could start from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., travelling all the churches around the country and the city. I don't know whether my family actually wanted me to join me in that journey, but I thought it was pretty exciting the way online's opened up. So God is on the throne. He's doing great things, and he continues to do great things in your life. So Matthew 7, verse 24 today, that we read, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock." This passage in Matthew 7 comes at the end of Matthew 5, 6 and 7, where Jesus talks about the Beatitudes, people who are blessed. He talks about the Lord's Prayer, how you can get closer to God through prayer. And at the end of these three chapters of one of the greatest sermons ever preached, he said, "You've got to put it into practice. It's not enough just to hear it. You've got to look at what it does in your life." And so I thought this is a great place to start today. Verse 26 actually says that when the storms come along, there'll be some lives that'll stand well and there'll some lives that are shaken. And really, it has to do with what you put into your life that really helps it to stand. So I thought today, let's think about some things that we can put into our lives that really help our lives to stand strong. And some that you might be able to think of, some we should get them to shout out, you know, some of these things. But certainly God's Word makes a difference. Recently I've been reading through the Psalms. That makes a difference. Prayer makes a difference. My wife and I have devotions each morning. So we open up the devotions and we hear God speaking to us in the devotions. And if we're driving off somewhere, we still open up the devotions on our phone and we read it. I close my eyes in prayer, and then I ask Debbie not to close her eyes as she drives, and we go along. But God speaks to us through all of these times. It's interesting how of a morning some people find that life's a struggle, and then they have a coffee and it's lifted up. I find I read my Bible of a morning, my life's lifted up and great things happen. So that's one of the areas that you can build in your life, is more time with God in prayer, more time coming along to church services. We should try and do as many church services, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., Jed, and spend some time with God. So the reminder is, when troubles come in your life, it's the time you've spent with God will make the difference. And the other thing is, here's something that we can tell you, let you in on this secret: troubles will come in your life. You can't avoid it, can you? whether you be the Prime Minister or whether you be 2 years old, troubles are going to come in your life. And sometimes two or three will come at once. And so the real thing to remember when troubles come along is, have you prepared? And it's sometimes a bit late to prepare. We've had occasionally in years past had a house where, you know, when it rains, you'd remember, oh, the rain gets in downstairs and we're down there with buckets. And have you ever had places like that where you're fearful for when the rain comes? But it's going to come. And you're better to prepare ahead of time. So that's the first point I'd like to make today, is spend some time in God's Word, prayer, really growing in God, so that when the troubles come, that you'll be able to face it. And when the troubles come, you, like me, all feel a bit the same, is that we just want to give up, don't we? We'll go to bed for 7 days or a year, 365 days or something. I mean, troubles come and big disasters in our life. I mean, one of the things that tests me is when you get into a line in the supermarket and they close yours, and you then go over to the next line in the supermarket, and then the person decides they'll let in, you know, 20 people before you get, you know, and you thought you're going to be the first in the next line. Yeah? Does anyone ever feel like me, that you feel a bit ungodly at that moment? You feel negative thoughts at that moment. And then there's bigger things can happen in life. But when you've spent time in God's Word and prayer, and you've been to church and you've met with other people of God, that's when you know that you're more fully prepared. So when the rain comes, the stream rises, those who are prepared are going to do well, and those who are not prepared, some troubles can follow on. So everyone who hears these words is like a wise man. And then on the next passage. Now, when I was thinking about foundations in life, I realized that this is really a metaphor. And one of the things we have to realize is that the word metaphor, it's not the same as the real thing. And so I don't get cement and wrap it around my shoes and all of that sort of thing. It's literally not what foundations is. It's a metaphor. And I began to think, what's really it standing for? I think it's standing for the way we think. So the foundation is the way we think. If you practice thinking positively, filled with joy, then that will make a difference. Although thinkers tell me that you can't just do that. You can't just, you know, your car gets dented, I think positively. Because at times you've got to admit that there will be difficulties in your life as well, and you've got to decide how you're going to handle those difficulties. I was quite astounded when I turned to the Psalms that they're not all positive. You've got Psalms that say, I felt dreadful. And I asked a couple of other professors, and they said, it's good to feel, to admit at times we feel dreadful, but what's important is the end of the psalm. So you begin at the beginning of the psalm, admitting you feel dreadful, and then you work it through. And then it's good to express, oh, I've got a good wife, so I can express, you know, Deb, I feel dreadful, etc. And then after about half an hour of that, she said, that's enough, you need to move on. And so it's good to be able at times in prayer to go to God and say, you know, this is how I feel. And I do, I go for a walk. I've even run into a pastor coming there while the way, praying and having his, I feel dreadful, but I'm waiting on God. So I think it's important to express those times where you do find challenging God, and then to work it through, and then begin to say, this is where I'm going to go. So the foundations of our thinking need to be real, authentic. I was reading this great brochure, I love it, where you've got the values and you've got them around the church here. And one of the values is being authentic. And I think that when I read the Psalms, I'm reminded of the value of being authentic. Also, I see the value of having mission, a sense of purpose. And I think these are important foundations to build in our life. The sense of community, realizing we live in an individualist age and a consumerist age. You can't just live on your own. You have to realize that to flourish, you are a brick built into the foundations and built into the building with others. And then serving is also important. And then someone said to me recently, we need to show enough wisdom in life that we don't continually need miracles. And I thought there's truth in that. We need to show a lot more wisdom. But I thought as well, I want the miracles as well. And that's so important, isn't it, is to know God's presence in our life. And so I'd say you need both. You need wisdom and you need miracles as well. Foundations is about relationships. It's about friendships rather than just acquaintance. It's about recognizing God loves us. It's having a sense of purpose, like these vision statements say. It's about all of these. So on to the next slide. In thinking about today, I was reminded, how many people have heard the story of the ant grasshopper? And so it's an Aesop fable, and then Disney made it more famous. And the way it goes is that a grasshopper there is rubbing his legs together and he's making wonderful sounds, and then he notices that there is an ant who's showing this practical wisdom, gathering everything. So he's gathering the food. And even today, Debbie and I this morning had breakfast, and we noticed this little ant that was about a centimetre long, and we dropped a couple of crumbs of bread, one of which was about 2 centimetres long, and there was this little ant carrying a piece of bread double his size, just dragging it along. And that's what ants do. They save it up, don't they? So I think this reminds us that life is not all just about music. At times we need to balance that with the practical. And I thought about this. Sometimes we need music. We need dancing. But we need to balance it with doing the washing up and doing the everyday. And I was talking to a minister the other day, and he was saying that in the first 6-12 months of his ministry overseas on a mission, he was told that he had to spend all his time doing the washing up and doing the washing and all of that, and that was the preparation for ministry. And he found that frustrating for a while. And then he realized that was really valuable to learn that balance between the spiritual things and the natural things. And so that's another point we need to make today. Worship's important, but John Wesley once said that he wouldn't want to spend day after day just in a prayer service or worship service. He'd want to be down with those who had needs and outworking the mission needs. And I think it's not one or the other, it's both. That God has made us supernaturally natural, and we need both, and we need a balance from those. Anyway, the winter came and the grasshopper had been saying, we've got plenty of food at present, and the ant went on his way and continued to toil away. And when the winter came, the grasshopper found itself dying of hunger, and it saw the ants distributing every day corn of grain from the store they had, but the grasshopper didn't have anything. And I asked my children yesterday, I said, what do you think of this story? And I said, what do you think they should do? And they came, you know the solution they came up with? They said they shouldn't feed the grasshopper too soon. Have to let him suffer a bit. And that would teach him so that next summer he'd do a bit of hard work. And then after a while they'd give him a little bit, but not too much, you know. I was going to mention become socialist, but then I thought that's probably not appropriate, and that'd be offend all the associates. Anyway, if I've offended half the people who were that way, I'll think of something to offend the other half, and that way we'll keep it balanced in a minute. I thought we do need tough love at times, don't we? And so I don't know the outcome fully, whether the grasshopper dies or not. I'll let you write the ending you wish to the story. Actually, you write the ending to your own story. You write the middle to your story and write the beginning, don't you? And that's what today we're talking about. And I thought we do need to invest financially in relationships, in God's word, prayer and church. That's the point we're wanting to make today, is that how you prepare today will prepare you for tomorrow. And then in Matthew 16, Jesus spoke about foundations he said to Simon Peter, who do you say I am? And Peter said, you're the Messiah, the Son of the living God, you're Jesus. That's the foundation we're building on today. As we worshipped, as we sung, I was reminded that in Jesus, you've got a great future. And so let me encourage you in that. And Jesus said, blessed are you, Simon. This is not revealed by flesh and blood. Revelation is so important in your life. to have that sense that God is speaking to you. I encourage you to write down when God says something to you. Miracles are important, and I'm believing for miracles in your life today, because I'm sure God has great miracles for each one of you. And so if you've got a need, if you've got a challenge, then pray and believe. You will have miracles in your life, but they may not be the miracles you expect. I went along to a healing meeting once, and a friend of mine took a child along in a wheelchair to the healing meeting, and he was believing for something. But the day before, he'd run his leg into a piece of metal, and it was a bit damaged, and the person who was praying said, I sense someone over there where the wheelchair was, came over, I sense God is going to do a miraculous healing now, and he pointed to the person wheeling the wheelchair behind the wheelchair. He said, I sense God is saying, you've done something to your leg, and he's going to do a miracle, and he felt the healing in his leg right there and then. So sometimes the healings are not exactly what we are looking for, but they're what God is wanting to do in his time. And we read in the book of Acts, they prayed, James loses his life in the book of Acts. And then Peter prays and he gets delivered. And different people have got different journeys, but God is doing miracles all the time in your life. Not a day goes by, I believe, when God is not able and willing and wanting to do miracles in your life. There are miracles happening many times in your life. Let's pray, God, open our eyes to see the extent of the miracles in your life. Your life journey up to this very point has been a series of miracles. Even through today, chances are you're going to begin to see more miracles. Whenever you get a bit of a glimpse of the potential in God to do something great, isn't that touching the miraculous? We need to believe in the unseen. One of the great dangers in life is that we can limit it to just the things we see, but God wants to expand our lives beyond the seen. I spent some time yesterday with my grandchildren. The exciting thing is I can see that there are things unfolding in the next 5 years, 10 years ahead. They're going to change from being primary school children to high school to going on working. God's going to do some great things. And so I think one of the challenges for us today is to recognize a miracle-filled life is built on the foundations of God at work. And verse 18, he's building the church on the presence of Christ today. That's why we come to church each Sunday, is because we love to meet with God and Jesus. And I love the way you're setting up so well here, a place where we can meet God in prayer, meet God in the announcements, in the word, in the fellowship together, in one another. We need so much more of God's presence in our lives. And there can be times that can be dark out there, times there's tough, storms can come along. But with God and Jesus in our lives, that makes such a real present, a real transformation and change in our lives. Debbie and I, we went over to Israel over the break. Christmas break last year, just before COVID. And one of the people from Sydney rang up and said, I had some notes once on Caesarea Philippi where Jesus delivered this message. Would I be able to send the notes? And I said, when are you going to Caesarea Philippi? And they gave us the date. And I said, I reckon I could just drop by and talk to you about it at that very... God had in his time. So that's where Jesus delivered the message, on this rock I will build my church, and where he asked Peter, who do you say I am? And what struck me is that Caesarea Philippi is where they had all of these temples built on rocks. That is, they were rock-built temples with foundations built to last. Interestingly, 2,000 years later, you've still got the foundations of the temples there, and you can clamber over the temples. I was going to say, Jed, you could even sneak a bit of the rock off and bring it back, but that would be naughty. I'd be in trouble there. I'd have to be attending. You're running a repentance thing later, so... So, no, you shouldn't do that. Scrap that from the audio recording. And so they had, and this is the cave of Pan, where they would throw a sacrifice in and it'd get taken in the water. And so there was a whole discussion. And so Jesus goes with the disciples there to this place and he asks the question, who do you say I am? Because everyone was saying, who do you say Pan is? Who do you say this God is? And Jesus says the more important thing, there can be different religion views and different temples, but the really important thing for you and I and the disciples and everyone is, who do you say Jesus is? And that makes such a difference in your life. So when you're facing storms and tough times, who do you say Jesus is? When you're going into this week ahead, who do you say Jesus is? That's what makes a real difference here. And so these are some of the different temples that they used to have there 2,000 years ago, and they would have to make a decision. Every one of them's carved out of stone. And then Peter, Jesus turns to him and says, on this rock I will build my church. Actually, this would be a good spot to ask the question of Jed and some other congregation members. What did he mean when he said, who do you say that I am? So who do you say that I am? And he said, on this rock, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. I could ask Gwen. She'd be ready in 2 seconds. Any thoughts, Gwen, on what he meant when he asked that question, who do you say I am? And he said, on this rock I'll build my church. What was the rock? Yes, I think that's exactly right. Were you going to say the same, Jed? All right, Jed gave a nod, we'll accept that. And that's exactly right. It's the belief in who Jesus is. And that's going to make the difference in your life, is who you believe Jesus is. So I encourage you, get to know Jesus. So it's the revelation of who Jesus is, it's faith in Jesus, it's confession of who Jesus is, it's relationship with God through Christ. And then on the next slide, we have this is what it looked like 2,000 years ago. So there was the Temple of Pan that would come up there, and then there were other temples. There was even a temple there that they had to the dancing goat. And they would heat up the metal floor, and then they'd get the goat to walk across, and as it walked across, it would dance, and that got people excited. You know, spirits and religious presence must be there or something like that, and that got them fired up. So there were different things, but Jesus looks at all of this, and he says, who do you believe I am? You are the real Messiah. You are the one who brings us into relationship with God. You're the one who transforms this world and transforms our lives. Because these are not just dead temples of stone. Jesus is the living presence amongst us. And here we've got a great building, but what's even greater is we've got a great presence of God through Christ that we meet and have today. And so in Matthew 16, we have that passage. And then, blessed are you, Simon Peter, you've got this revelation. And then 1 Corinthians 3, we read the same, is that God has given Paul the job of being a master builder. No other foundation can I lay, which is Jesus Christ. So the theme today is that there's a foundation to your life in terms of relationships, and the foundation you want is a living relationship with Christ that comes through saying the sinner's prayer, accepting salvation into your life, and seeing that transformation in your life. So this is in Corinth, where Paul was preaching. Debbie and I had a chance to head over there, and we did get lost. And so we were trying to explain in English to these people who only spoke Greek. We're looking for ancient Corinth, and they were trying to explain we're on the wrong bus. It was going somewhere. But anyway, they stopped the bus, put us on another bus, drove us, and we ended up there at ancient Corinth. So this is where Paul was preaching. These are shops in ancient Corinth. Notice how these have survived 2,000 years because they were built solidly. Your life survives into eternity when you build solidly. And then here's Paul preaching to the people at the time, and he's explaining that here we've got these temples, but what's more important than a physical building is what you're doing in your life to build a transformed life. Each of your lives is a temple to God's presence. And as we gather together, there's even more a sense of God's presence amongst us. So 1 Corinthians 3:12, if you build using costly stones, then that will be solid. But if you build out of more temporary, lightweight timber, Debbie and I are doing some building construction at the moment, doing different things, and I'm tempted to take the shortcut, but Debbie always reminds me, you've got to have the right materials and take longer, and that's true of our lives too, isn't it? I encourage you, get a good education. I encourage you to spend time in a good place of worship, spend time with God in order that you might build solidly. And then there'll come a day when it will still survive. And we've seen in these ancient buildings that they've survived thousands of years because they've been built very well. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple? And so you can either build or destroy. So in conclusion, we're one body today with many parts. We're not a physical building so much as a building in relationship with one another. And there's a sense in which God is wanting to build all of us together into one whole. Even within us, there are many parts. That is, sometimes we're more a hard-working person. Other times, we're more a resting person. Do I hear any amens to the resting side of life? And other times we're more celebrating and singing like the grasshopper. But we've got to realize we've got to balance the different parts of our lives. But most importantly of all, we've got to have the right foundation to our lives, the right relationship to our lives, and that's with God and Jesus. Let's stand, shall we, as we draw together this part of reading from the message about the living temple that we are that needs to be built on the right foundation. Heavenly Father, we thank you that there is a building that you are building, which is each of our lives. Lord, we thank you that there are times where scaffolding of old thinking needs to be put aside and we need to take on newer thinking, stronger thinking. We thank you that there comes a time in our lives where we put aside being self-focused and realizing that Jesus is the cornerstone and foundation to our lives that transforms us and changes us. Lord, we thank you that there are times, even a decade on or two or three decades on, when we can re-look at those foundations and ask, what's my relationship with God through Christ? And so we ask today, Lord, that you would help us in rebuilding and restoring our relationships and our foundations. Help us to think more clearly. And most importantly today, Lord, we ask for a revelation of that miraculous sense of your presence, the unseen moving of God upon our lives. Lord, if there are those who have financial need, Lord, we pray that you would bring a revelation, sometimes a revelation of an idea, a revelation of way you can provide. Lord, we do pray for checks in the mail. Lord, we do pray for provision that we might testify. Thank you for the testimonies today, and we pray that we might be a greater testimony in the times ahead. Lord, we pray for those who have physical needs today. Lord, whether one has a need in the ankle, like the person I mentioned, or a knee in the knee, or in the hip, Lord, we pray wherever there is a need, we pray today for a miracle healing. Lord, we pray for those who are seeking help from doctors. We thank you for the doctors and nurses present here, and the other doctors and nurses, and we pray that you'd give them the insight and the wisdom to really meet needs. We pray for those who are facing the challenges of COVID. Lord, we thank you for those who are working on a solution there too. Lord, we pray for those who need a spiritual uplift today. Lord, for those who felt down, who felt trapped or crushed in any way, who felt depressed, Lord, we pray that we'd be reminded of a foundation that brings hope and joy into every life here today. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen.